Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime. Prison band was there, they began to wail. The band was jumping and the joint began to swing. You should have heard this knocked-out jailbird sing. Let it rock. Everybody let it rock. Everybody in old cell block.
And welcome, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott joining you on Oilers Now. 45 years ago today, the king passed away, Elvis Presley. We will pay homage during the course of today's show to Elvis. Bob Stauffer joining you. Mark Spector is going to pop in fairly early on today's edition of Oilers Now, brought to you by Digitex. Buy or lease your next office network printer from the Digitex.ca e-commerce store. Alberta's number one owned and operated place to buy office IT and supplies. In the opening half hour, Mark Spector and a whole bunch of Jay Woodcroft, who was kind enough to join us yesterday. We'll hear from Jay in our Oilers Now audio vault for direct workwear. We'll get to NHL today for elite promotional marketing. Specca in studio for about the next hour and a half here on Oilers Now. Again, for Digitex. Buy or lease your next office network printer from the Digitex.ca e-commerce store. Alberta's number one owned and operated place to buy office IT and supplies. There you go. That extra pump there was just for you, Hugh Porter. We will tell you that you can reach us at any time on the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline, 780-496-0063. Get ready to rock at the River Cree. Tom Cochran, Saturday, November the 5th. Get your tickets now at rivercreeresort.com. And you can text us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line, 780-496-0063. Get the new floors you've always wanted, 143rd Street, 111th Avenue, or head to ashleyfinefloors.com. Mr. Spector is in studio. Hello, Mark. How you doing?
Oh, doing pretty good, Bobby. Nice to be in here. I've been here for a while. I've seen you for a while.
Well, I haven't seen you in the 630 Chad Studios since the summer of 2019, I think. Yeah, summer of 2019 would have been the last time.
I had to hunt around my car for a mask, I'll tell you that right now, coming in here.
We should explain, everybody, that in the actual building at Chorus, you have to wear a mask. We are separated by glass. This is the best you've looked for a while, actually, Spec. The sun's been good to you. Yeah. Or maybe it's just the way that the reflection's hitting your face.
I'm just relaxed, pal. I'm just relaxed. It's been a good summer.
Oh, I know,
chilled out, baby.
I find that we get better results out of you when you're face to face than over the phone,
because
you're probably sitting out on the deck sipping on a beer.
I was almost brought a beer in here, but I thought it'd be bad for him. Yeah,
well, win or lose, we still booze. You know that. We're gonna hear some comments coming up from Jay Woodcroft. We're sitting here. It's the middle of. It's the middle of August, but I'm going to throw a complete curveball at you before we get to some of Jay's stuff. Have you gone to any of the games at the World Junior Championship?
No, I'm not accredited. I was given the option by my place there. We sent a younger person out to cover it, and my place said, you know what? You got a big season ahead. You're probably on holidays. If you don't wish to cover the tournament, you don't have to. And having covered a lot of World Juniors and the last two here a little bit, the answer was no.
I popped in while I was at the entire game, both Saturday against the Czechia. And I remember when it used to be called Czechoslovakia. Then it became the Czech Republic, and now it's Czechia.
Now it's Czechia. And how was the crowd for the Finland game?
I never
see numbers anymore.
Yeah, I thought it was about 5,100 in around there. It was a loud crowd. I was at the Finland game last night. I bumped in about six or seven different sets of people during the course of the game. You know, this is about as good a weather as we've had in Edmonton for a long time, for a long stretch. I know on Saturday, I pulled off the doubleheader. I went to the Canada game and then to the Elks football game that night
did
as
you?
Well. Oh, yeah. And, but, you know, 30 degrees during the day. Do you really want to be in watching hockey in August? We had a late start to this past season. The Oilers went three rounds of the playoffs. The crowds, not surprisingly, have not been great. Should we be concerned by that? Do you think there's extenuating?
No.
There's been some inference from some guys out there. This reflects on Edmonton. I'm like,
Not a chance.
The floor is
yours. It's World Junior fatigue. Three World Juniors inside 2 years in the same city, right?
Right.
You know, the bubble two in 2020. The aborted attempt last year, which would have been the 2022, Or no, how do we do that?
Yeah, I guess 2021 World Juniors, 2022 was going
to be 2021 was the bubble.
Was the bubble.
2022 was the one that the Red Deer Wedding cost us. And here we are, not even, you know, the third one inside of 2 years. And now you say, oh, by the way, we're going to hold it in August in Edmonton when, you know, so you have a city that's really, you know, there's some fatigue. There's a lot of people who bought tickets to the bubble over 2 years ago who couldn't go because it was a bubble. And then they bought their tickets. They redid them for the year before, the next year, I should say. And they were ready for the big games, and the thing got canceled, whatever game's in.
And now you're putting them on in August when people are
now
away.
Now you say, come back a third time.
And haven't been able to travel for a few years.
Yeah, people want to travel. People want to go to the lake. It's summertime in Edmonton, man. So, no, this has no reflection on Edmonton sports.
All
absolutely
right.
Not.
So there's that. There's also the fact that the Oilers had an extended playoff run and with escalating ticket prices that come with the territory. Every NHL team does it the further you go in the playoffs.
Just people watched hockey in this town till late May for the first time.
Right.
And now it's just 3 months later, June, July, August, we got hockey again. I mean,
do you think anybody is out there holding their noses, you know, as official members of the woke police saying, I want no part of this because to me it doesn't reflect on any of the current players, as an example, that are on Team Canada, but the ongoing investigation with 2018.
Well, there are people that don't want to support Hockey Canada at this moment, including all of their major sponsors, or most of them.
Right.
And they're not saying that Tim Hortons and the Telluses and the other ones aren't saying,
we don't support the kids on the team.
No, they're not saying that, and they're not saying we're never coming back. They are saying, we're stepping away here until you guys get your house in order. And I think there's a lot of fans who are also stepping away until they get their house in order, and that's absolutely fair.
So this confluence of events between, I think, has all played a factor in it. So,
Sure. Tough draw. Tough situation. The kids are having a good tournament, and in your heart, everyone still cheers for Canada, no matter what all the other stuff says. But, this one isn't going to make a lot of money this year.
You can text us at 780-496-0063. So, yeah, pulled off the doubleheader on Saturday. You put a tweet out today on your beloved Edmonton Elks.
Well, I don't know if I would say they're beloved. I grew up cheering for the previous version, but
you're not allowed
listen,
to...
the Elks, I guess I'd say this to you, Bob. I just followed a Dave Campbell tweet where he listed another three or four guys that got cut loose here.
Right.
By the Elks today, and I'm waiting for Chris Jones's player acquisition skills to kick in. Why are we moving four or five players out every week?
Well, let's bring in Brendan Escott right now, who's just on the other side, since he's now the pre and post guy on the Edmonton Elks. Are you surprised how much turnover has occurred with the football team, or is this a byproduct of the fact that the cupboards were fairly bare when Jones took over, or is that a cop-out? You tell me, Brendan. You're around it every day.
There we go. I did that 2 days in a row with the wrong microphone. It's tough to say, Bob. I can tell you one thing is the lack of continuity on this team has really started to rear its ugly head over the last few weeks. You haven't been able to build any chemistry because there's been so much turnover. And how do you prevent turnover? You win football games, you know? They brought in some high pedigree guys such as Jalen Collins, who was like a second round NFL pick in 2016. He might have been the most mistake and penalty prone player out there. So it's not like they're not getting these high profile guys. They're just not getting anything out of them right now.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation right now. You know, the CFL at the end of the day, Spec, is still a domestic league. What is the key to winning a domestic league?
No, a lot of people say you're Canadians. Right?
Having the best domestic players. It doesn't matter if you're talking international soccer, international hockey, whatever. If you're sitting there at in the German league, or you know, you take a look at the 9-year run in the Bundesliga that Bayern Munich have had, and maybe they're the exception.
It's a little bit of a different scenario
because they can get the best players from everywhere. But at the end of the day, I think Joe Gallant once said, "I can find a starting running back at any bar down in the States. Get me a good Canadian."
And when hold on. If he can, why can't the Edmonton Elks find a decent return man in any bar in the States? Because they've been looking for 20 years.
Yeah. Okay, well, but that precedes Chris Jones.
Whatever. Chris Jones waves his flag as the best, smartest football man there is.
I'm surprised at the lack. I'm surprised at the lack of traction that they've had
so
far. Like I thought they were going to win the game against Saskatchewan. Right. But there were things that were occurring during that game that were signs that they were going to lose. You know, like
a lot of penalties.
Quarterback takes off, and you know, and he was an okay starter, okay state. He wasn't great, but he takes off Taylor Cornelius and has like a 35-yard run, mm-hmm. and then botches a handoff that leads to a fumble in the red zone, right? And then they score. They go up late in the first half, and you give up a kick six on the return. And
oh,
it just
that kills you. You're not supposed to give up kickoff returns.
Sucks the life, right? Especially when you never get them. So
you know what? The thing about Canadians in the CFL is, you won't be a championship team without having really good Canadians.
You know who's got the best Canadians?
Winnipeg. For sure. And they're winning cups. And when the Eskimos won cups, they had great Canadians. All of that's true. You can be a good CFL team because you got a bunch of good Americans. You might not win a cup because your Canadians aren't good enough. But I'm looking at an Elks team that isn't a good team, and they don't even have good Americans or enough good Americans. And this is supposed to be the easy part, right? For Chris Jones going down there, finding good American players, good skill guys. He doesn't have a quarterback here. I know Trey, what's his last name?
Ford.
She doesn't say Jones. Trey Ford got hurt, and he looks like a really promising guy. I loved watching him the short period of time he played. But quarterbacks are supposed to grow on trees. Running backs are supposed to grow on trees. Good receivers, good return men, supposed to grow on trees. None of them are coming here.
Yeah. I recall, you know, you and me spent 5.5 years doing a show together at another station, another time. That was almost ended up only being 2.5 years. And I know that in the extensive conversations that I had with Rick LaLashire back then, he was well aware as the president of the then Edmonton Eskimos mm-hmm. that when they went to a salary management system, that the Eskimos' days of outbidding everybody for Canadian talent.
Well, now it's a...
It was going to be neutralized.
May the best managed team win, just like the NHL now, right?
All right. When we come back, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to get to... we'll run some of Jay Woodcroft's stuff at 12:35, but when we come back, we're going to talk about the changing complexion, perhaps, of how people perceive Ken Holland in this hockey market. You're listening to Oilers Now. It's 12:18 in Edmonton. All right, we are going to quickly blast through some texts here, but first I got to find, all right, what's this button for right here? I'm going to go, how do I go like that? I want to just go up a little bit. You can text us at 780-496-0063. Terrence in Speedy Creek says, Bob, it took Chris Jones 2 years to build a team in Saskatchewan. Give the man some time, Specter. Boomer says, why aren't there some sort of... story about the hard feelings about people getting screwed around for tickets. I thought I heard something like that, but wasn't truly paying attention. That one comes to us from Boomer. I've not heard that, actually. DC says, I know it's just a name, but without the old name, I'm not interested at all in the Elks. Not the same. That one comes to us from DC. Brew Crew says, do the lack of Russian players affect the attendance? Politics aside, the Russian players are good and playing them is a draw. What do you think, Spec? Russians not being there, does that matter?
No, listen, and as a guy who recently jumped the fire when Latvia won their first game, Bob, at the World Juniors,
at least you weren't nude.
0-27, it's a better tournament when Russia's in it than when Latvia's in it, I'm here to tell you, but that is not a factor in what's going on here, no.
All right, it took about 6 years to mess up the Elks after Jones left. It could take as long to fix it, just saying. That one comes to us from Haas. Everything you want to know about the Elks on Oilers Now, who knew? More hockey and a lot less football. Bob, how many years ago were you in your Twitter profile picture? Seems like mid to late 1900s. Twitter profile picture is from the year 2001. Just thought I'd change it up. All right, Spec. A lot of people thought when Ken Holland was hired as general manager, there was some criticism out there, and that comes with the territory. You're in a market that cares about hockey. People are allowed to have their opinions. The Oilers have finished 12th, 11th, and 11th the last 3 years. Ken Holland will tell you they made the playoffs ostensibly all three seasons. I know Fear the Finn, the San Jose Sharks fan, will drill me and say, oh, they didn't make it. They lost to Chicago in the play-in series, whatever. Yeah. They went 3 rounds of the playoffs, and as we've discussed before, the Oilers in Minnesota, the only teams in the top 12 in the standings last year that have their last four first-rounders that had all four first-round picks from the last 4 years, and the Oilers, the only team in the NHL, 10 straight first-round picks still in the organization. They're the only team in the league that can boast that. Does it say something? Has the perception changed on Ken Holland because of Edmonton's play into the conference final and the fact that he's been true to his word?
Yeah,
go for it.
Yeah, winning fixes everything, right? Winning, you know, we were just talking about the Elks and Chris Jones. win 10 in a row or make some playoffs, and the conversation changes. Ken Holland came here, took a team that wasn't winning, and has them in the playoffs every year. And now they've had a very successful run, their first, you know, Final Four in forever. So, sure, I liked his hire at the time that they hired him because he's just very experienced, and he's seen all the problems, and he's fixed teams, and he's built teams. Everything he has to do in Edmonton, he's done two or three times before elsewhere. So I thought this is a good man for the job, and I guess, you know, three seasons later, we're seeing that, yeah, he is a good man for the job. They got a good team, and you got to give Ken Holland a lot of the credit for that.
So the key to, I mean, it's funny because you and me watched, I remember back in 06, we joked around and you had Detroit in three, and I actually got one of the rare times I got one right on that series. But we knew how good Detroit was for all those years. They were in it every year. They were a legitimate threat to win the Cup basically from 1990, really from about 1994 all the way until probably 2011 and 12. So for about an 18-year, I know they made the playoffs longer than that, but
25 years in a row. But
they were
a Cup contender for certainly 17 of those years, let's say.
And a lot of it was because of their buying power. Yeah. They were a big money team. Detroit, Colorado, and Dallas were the big money teams in the Western Conference. Mm-hmm. But that was an organization that drafted better than those other two teams. That was the other key to it. And where did Ken Holland make his hay?
Oh, in Sweden and Russia.
And how did he start his career?
As a scout. Sure.
Right. So
he had Håkan Andersson over in Sweden, bringing over the Holmströms and the, you know,
Lidströms
and those guys that just, he had a good scouting staff and they drafted well and developed well. Sure.
So he comes to Edmonton, says we got to draft and develop, and we sit here and, I mean, there's, I, all the stuff I knew and I didn't want to say anyhow. That's a great title for a book one day, Mark.
It is a good title for a book.
I'll be 80 then, but I digress. So, no, you look at like some of the misses in the second and third round, and that's a given. It's a given.
This misses. That's just the draft.
That's the draft.
Right.
But he's retained his first round picks. Mm-hmm. And you know what? He was on a couple weeks ago, Mark. He went to the U18. A lot of good forwards. He said it on the air. A lot of good forwards. General manager goes and sees these guys, goes, geez, there's a lot of good forwards here. Kind of makes a guy. And I thought to myself, there's only one way I would move the first round pick.
And that is?
I got to get a star back.
Yeah. It has to be, in this landscape, this season, we were just talking off air, but this has to be the kind of move that brings in the player that's going to put you over the top to really contend and perhaps win a Stanley Cup, Patrick Kane or someone like that, right?
There we go. We're not talking, with all due respect, Blake Coleman or Brandon Hagel.
No.
We're talking, if you're going to give up a number, and if you're going to get Evander Kane, you're talking a 4 or 5-piece trade. Like you're talking a guy like Puljujärvi.
Patrick Kane, yeah.
You know, Puljujärvi and your first-round pick. And
well, let's see
prospect,
what the market
prospect,
is, right?
Prospect,
remember, right? There's only 1 year left on Kane's deal. You may not get him till the deadline.
Well, that's...
So,
if you're Chicago, I know they can sit there and say, well, no, we want...
They'd like to move him for the most possible right now.
Right, which is right
but
now.
But Edmonton can't take on an $11 million contract.
They'd have to clear out some serious salary. If they eat half the cap space, if they retain 50%, and by the way, he's only owed $2.9 million in real dollars.
Well, that's nice for Darryl Cates because he's the one paying the bills, but the number that matters is
the $10.5 million cap space. So now you knock it down to 5.25. Okay. How much do Fogle and Puljujärvi make combined?
Yeah. Well, there you go.
5.75. There you go.
Okay.
No, I'm just saying. Like, I mean, it'd have to be a 4 or 5 person. But you're with me. The only way, given that Ken Holland has seen the depth of this year's coming draft, the only way you're moving that number one is if you're getting a home run guy that can help you get over top.
Listen, there's a lot, as they say, to unpack here. In the old days, before the cap system, the Leafs moved their first-round pick every year, thinking they were ready to win. They were never ready to win, and they never won. And they foolishly depleted their farm system, but they could just go sign and sign and spend and spend and spend. Those days are over now. Any good team has young players playing for them. Ryan McLeod is going to play for you this year, whether his season's good or his season's bad. They need him in the lineup. So you have to keep those first-round picks.
Roland has texted us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. As the only person to text the show in January and say Ken Holland was doing a good job of rebuilding the foundation of the team, my opinion has not changed. My option has changed? What the heck? I checked. I remember Roland texting the show and saying, hey, everybody just needs to chill out. They've got a lot of pieces here.
Well, let's redefine success. When we started, when Ken Holland started here, success was make the playoffs, right? Just make the playoffs. Did it 3 years in a row. Now it's not make the playoffs anymore. Now they are, in my mind, a legitimate Stanley Cup contender. They got to contend for a cup now. That's it.
That's where we're going next when we come back after a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.